Good afternoon and welcome to our Bible study program. This week we'll be back in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's look to the Lord in prayer and then we're going to read the portion we're going to look at this week. Again, Father, we come before you. We're seeking your leading. We're seeking guidance from your word. Father, as we open it, we pray for those listening. We think of each one. We think of ones that are believers that may be looking to be encouraged. We think of this new year that we have before us. We just pray that ones would be careful to seek your will. We pray for any lost soul that may tune in and may hear about Christ and that he has paid the price for their sins. And we just pray that you might work in their lives through the hearing of your word. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 2. If you recall the last time I was with you, we finished up with verse 19, and we're going to look this week at going from verse 20 on through the end of the chapter, and we would like to pick up first with a review of our outline. We look at chapter 2 of 2 Timothy with 8 descriptions of a believer and their duties as found therein. Is a good way of outlining this chapter if you'd like to study it. We see this one, Paul, spoke to Timothy, calling him a son in the faith, a child of faith. He spoke to him as a teacher, as a soldier, as an athlete, as a husbandman or farmer, as a workman. And those are the areas that we've looked at thus far. And, of course, in each of these areas, we see that these are ones that are told to be strong, to be committed, to endure, to strive, to labor, to study. But now as we pick up at verse 20, we see in verse 21, it speaks of a vessel. Paul is telling Timothy to be a vessel that is of honor and not dishonor. We see in verse 24, he speaks of him being a servant. Now let's just back up to verse 19 to bring it into context and read the remainder of the chapter. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. We trust the Lord would bless the reading of his precious word, and we backed up one verse to verse 20, from 20 to verse 19 to bring it into context. We were looking at verse 19 previously, and we were looking at the fact of the foundation of God standeth sure. We looked at this having a seal. The scripture we quote here from the Old Testament of how the Lord knows them that are his. We considered that. We then considered that everyone that names the name of Christ should depart from iniquity. So we consider that. That verse is a very intriguing verse. You break it down into 4 or 5 parts, yet then you bring it in together. Yet it sets the stage for verse 20. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to dishonor, or some to honor rather, and some to dishonor. So we see here, gold and silver, compared to wood and earth. Wood and earth, we think, is something that would easily decay compared to gold and silver, something that would not be as precious and lasting? Well, when we think of a great house, we could think of the house of God. We think of how, in our study thus far, as we back up into 1 Timothy, we saw there, chapter 2 and verse 15, there it spoke of the house of God in a different sense, in a metaphoric sense, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. But now here, let's think of the great house, as in the, instead of the local assembly, let's think more so on the universal church, in a great house, not a building per se, but as in the body of Christ, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver. Here, it compares that to wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. So as in verse 19, the believer is exhorted to depart from iniquity. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Well, in this verse 20, we consider what is honor, what is dishonor. Perhaps Paul could be applying himself as something of honor. We think of how he was useful to the master's use. Perhaps he would be thinking of Hymenaeus, as in verse 19, or rather 17 and 18, speaking of Hymenaeus and Philetus, how they had overthrown the faith of some. And if you look at Hymenaeus also in 1 Timothy chapter 1, there we see as well mentioned as one that had to be turned over to Satan so he would learn not to blaspheme, but under discipline. Perhaps this was someone he was thinking of when he spoke of a vessel to dishonor. But nevertheless, whatever examples we might come up with, we turn to verse 21 and we see a little explanation. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use. Here is in verse 19, let everyone depart from iniquity that names the name of Christ. Here it's speaking about being sanctified, being useful or meet for the master's use, a vessel unto honor. Here in verse 21, it explains what an honor, a vessel unto honor would be, prepared unto every good work. Well, when we think of the word meet, it's the word for useful. We think of Philemon, verse 11. We think there of how Paul spoke of this one Philemon who was unprofitable is now profitable. We think of chapter 4 of our study in 2 Timothy, verse 11. Here we see where it speaks of only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. So we see there a mention of one that is profitable or meet for the master's use. Now, when we think about this, we move on and think about the word master. What is a master? This is someone who has complete ownership. The sovereign master here is the Lord God. He is the master that is spoken of. We should be useful for the master's use. Are we useful for the Lord's use? If you know Christ as your Savior, that is the great exhortation, that we would be useful for the great master, the one that has paid for our sin at the cross of Calvary. Well, let's think of changing masters. Have you changed masters? If you look in Colossians chapter 1, move down to verse 12. Paul is speaking to the Colossian believers. He's saying, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Here, Paul is speaking of how we ought to give thanks to the one who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. This is changing masters, being a servant to sin and to Satan, being changed to the kingdom of his dear son, the Lord Jesus Christ. From the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, changing masters. You know, when one say, oh, I'm free now. I'm free if I know Christ as my Savior. Well, yes, you are. But free means you've changed masters. Not that you're out to do as you please, but that you will serve out of love for the one who first loved you. You change masters. There's no room in Scripture for someone to be a lone ranger as a Christian. That they say, well, hey, I'm not going to hell, and they also, I can just live as I please. Well, the Word of God tells us, when we were saved from the penalty of our sin, but we changed masters. We changed from Satan being our master to Christ, the Lord, being our master, the sovereign master, the one who out of love for him, not out of debt, but out of love for him, for we've been saved by grace. So for love for the one who saved us, we serve our master. We don't have a taskmaster. We have a loving master, one that we can be in the very presence of for eternity if you know Christ as your Savior. Well, we would encourage anyone that is not saved, that does not know Christ as our Lord and Savior, to consider this. It's not a matter of turning to a certain religious set of rules to become a Christian. People might think sometimes, well, I'll have to give this up and I'll have to do this. My friend, when you turn to Christ by faith and realize it's by his free gift that he has paid for your sin, then once you have been redeemed, been bought by the precious blood of Christ, and you've been born again, made a new creature in Christ, then the Spirit of God will live in you, and out of love for the one that is now your master, you'll serve him. And we will want to obey his word, not out of any set of rules, but it's a matter of love for the one who has bought you, taken you off the slave market, and brought you into his own home to sit at the table of the Lord, to commune with him. What a thought to be able to be in his very presence and gladly serve him and worship him. As we said before, it's not as a taskmaster. This is one that we bow down in reverence, gratefully, lovingly, wanting to bow down at the feet of our new master. I would exhort you to turn to him, the Savior of sinners, and serve him, the only true God and Savior of sinners. May we continue this tomorrow. This has been Mike Moody, following Mark Beebe and Jeff Buckles with the Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministry.